It's 8:45 on the clock. We'll call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for July 20th, 2016. And we'll start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Hill, Dorn, Byers, and Tiemann. Bauman and Lytle will be gone all day. Consent agenda. The general agenda: approved minutes of meeting held July 6, 2016. Approve all claims through July 20th, 2016 in the amount of $1,006,194.39. Accept claim number 160701.24 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $1,139 and claim number 160702.21 to RL Tiemann Construction in the amount of $11,750.30 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report and register deeds filing fees report for the month of June 2016. We'll entertain a motion to approve.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Tiemann. Vote 5-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove the claim number 160701.24 to Beatrice Lawn Care, Inc. in the amount of $1,139 and claim number 160702.21 to RL Tiemann Construction in the amount of $11,750.30. Total amount of claims will then be $1,019,083.69. I will entertain a motion to approve that.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Hill. And both of these claims are for businesses that Eric's involved with, so that's why we are pulling them out to vote on separately. And vote 4 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. I know some of you are on the agenda for later, so that's fine, but if not, anybody here to make comments or have comments? If not, we will move on. Committee reports. Buildings and ground winter lights.
Do we have anything other than what we're going to have later, Dave?
No, we do not.
Okay. We don't have anything.
Equalization. And as
I'm getting into that later also.
Yep, we'll have that later here also. Finance insurance. Terry?
A sizable amount. I'll go through the top ones on the list. One was a $400,000 transfer to the road fund. Legal services, $22,940. Another legal services, $59,654. Going to the road department end of it, rock and gravel, $50,797. Another one, rock and gravel, $11,750. Another rock and gravel, $22,852. And $37,440 was paid to Straight Line Striping Incorporated for the painting of the overlaid or armor-coated roads that we did, about 37 miles, I believe.
That was some of the bigger claims, and
yep.
And then, why we were over $1 million.
Yep. And then insurance fund, $29,197 was another large one on there, so.
And we do have, I think part of it we'll get later, one of our last items here on the agenda is discussion of the 16-17 budget. We put that on there. I'm going to have that on there the next few meetings, and a little bit more of some of the finances, or the finances, I'll call it this way, going forward will be discussed in that part of it or whatever. So anything else for insurance, finance? Human resource?
Nothing.
Nothing. Law enforcement? Yes?
There are a couple things that...
Grab it off the corner over there.
You mean for Monday?
Oh, Monday, yes, I do have yours. There you go.
You might have seen already in the Facebook page or on our website, we have the RX drug take-back drug box. We got through grant, through MAPS, and put that in front office, and it's almost full already, I think. They said it's getting used quite a bit, so that's a good thing. I'll introduce Zach here in just a little bit. Unless you need to do it now, that's up to you, Myron. It's a time to vent.
It's up to you.
Yeah, we can do it here.
Does he need have somewhere he needs to be here?
Yeah, he's working. We're paying him, so I'll just do it right now.
No, I'm teasing.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
This is Zach Smith. He's been with us here for a few weeks. He comes from, I believe, the Valparaiso area. Is that correct? He was certified for 4 years, been from the Shelton Police Department, and been down here with us. So, and he'll be living in the southern part of the county is where he's going to be. So he's doing a good job for us and want to come to the larger agency, and I think he's finding out that he can keep himself pretty busy if he wants. So he'll be here. If you see his face sometime for a pleasant reason, you know who he is now that way. So, yeah, there.
Which part of the southern? East or west?
Not near close to you, Jerkins. I wanted to run across the road, but couldn't do it. So anyway, anything you want to say or just
like
say see you later in the room?
Comments or...
Not much, just excited to start working for a bigger agency. I came from Shelton's, a town about the size of Wymore,
okay.
A little smaller actually. So it's nice to patrol 900 square miles instead of 1 square mile. So
yep.
I'm excited.
Well, we welcome you.
Thank you.
Are you living in Wymore? Or
we live in, I got a house just off Highway 77. It's Blue Springs address, but that'll be ready here. In a couple weeks, I'll be all moved in. So,
right around 70, 71, 12 in that area, isn't it?
Yeah, after that first curve.
Yeah.
Good.
Welcome aboard.
Yep.
Thank you. Welcome aboard. Thanks, Zach.
All right.
Take one. See you later. Deputy Behrens returned from Dallas. He went down there, represented the county and the office at the funeral. He was officer down there for about 9 years and 6 years, whatever it was, and knew. Knew some of the officers, knew one very well, so it was received very well. It was amazing. A large agency, many people were there, and one of the assistant chiefs came up and thanked him for wanting to make sure that we all knew that they appreciate them being down there representing us, so that was kind of nice. Washington County on the Kansas agreement with the jail is an update. That's going very well. The only problem I have now is we're pretty much most times full with our females, so we have to find some other place, but they've been very accommodating for us, so that's been going well. Don, we're trying to get together on that here sometime. We're having issues with our highway safety grants getting reimbursed. I don't know if it's because of the union contract or how it shows on pay stubs and 160 versus 168 straight time before it's overtime. Well, we'll try to get that worked out and see how that goes.
It's progressing.
Is it progressing? Good. One thing I know, I think probably put it on the calendar to be there. The State Jail Standards Board is going to have their quarterly state meeting here. I think it's next week.
29.
They want to come down here so they can take a walk through the facility over here and kind of see why we've been on the agenda for many years. I did send yesterday, I finally did get the fire marshal to come down and give an inspection. He did sign off. You should have copies of that at some point in time. I got to you. On our 27 safety code violations, the five-year program we had it set up on to get that done, that's done. A few other things he threw in there in the mix along the way have been taken care of. So as far as with this week, we're done. So that should hopefully help keep the committee happy. I don't know about our annual inspection now coming up in the fall, where we'll fall on that, if he finds something else. But at least for right now, we're where we need to be, said. So that's an open meeting. If you want to be there, you can certainly put on the calendar and show up.
I'm sorry, when is that again?
Yeah, it's going to be July 29th at 9 downstairs in the EOC.
Okay, I do have that written down.
So, at least you'll see, we're not the only jail sometimes. I think they got agendas always statewide. So, but anyway, that was about all we had. So,
thank you. Thank you, guys. Road and Bridge.
Okay, Myron, we'll start with Hickory. Progressing well. The last I was told, weather permitting, they'll probably start pouring next week. The comment I was made was when they're in full swing, they would be using 250,000 yards a day. 2,500? No, I think it was more than that, Eric. It was 250 truckloads is what they were going to go with.
At 10 yards per truck, that'd be
2,500. 250 trucks a day.
All right. Right.
250 trucks a day is all that road would be using.
So it, once they get started, I don't think it's going to take long, and I think most of the road is prepped. I don't think all of it, but the comment, they'll start at the bridge and come east. They'll pour both lanes at one time. So they'll go east, then I assume they'll come back however they do it. That's their job. But anyway, it's been a long time coming, and it's going to be nice when it's done. If anybody's been out there and looked at it, I mean, there's quite a change in that area. So that's where we're at with that. We discussed about some invoices on Hickory Road for irrigation line changes and stuff. We weren't complete with the facts. So those claims were not paid as of right now. Talked about stockpiling gravel again from the Columbus area, Schuyler area. Galen, I'd like to went, but I couldn't make it that day. Highway 4 is being redone from Beatrice to Plymouth, maybe a little past Plymouth, I think. And it's a different kind of a method they're using. It's something that I saw before, and it always looked like it was something maybe we should look at. Galen was there firsthand, and Galen, being as I wasn't there, you going to kind of explain how that process was and what they and what they did actually?
Yeah, the process involved the first thing the state did, they went in, they milled off the top inch and a half of existing pavement, and it's my understanding they're going to put that back over the top in the future on the road. There was a series of machines. The first machine had a big heater on it, went through and started heating the existing asphalt. The one behind it had a big heater on it and a milling machine, and they went down in depths of a half inch as the machine milled it, and there was augers that kind of mixed the millings in and kind of gradually put it towards the center of the road. Directly behind it was another rig the same way, had a big heater milling machine on, went down another half inch, stirred it up and mixed it, and continued down to, I believe they went down to a depth of an inch and a half. On the last two machines with the heaters and the milling machines on, there's also a big oil tank on, and they mixed a percentage of oil in with the millings on the first one, and then the second one come by and heated it and done the same thing. And when the last machine took and mixed everything together and put in a big windrow, and the paver come in right behind it and picked it up into the paver and then spread it out into a uniform mat, and then they come in behind and rolled it. So when it was all done, it was a nice uniform mat that was done. In talking to them, they said that within the same summer, you had to come in and either chip seal it or overlay on top of it to seal off the surface of the road. And in this particular instance, the state was planning on putting an inch and a half overlay back on the top of it. So it was quite a procedure.
I think if I remember right, you said the proximate. And the only reason I'm bringing this is for the project, but it's just something I always felt maybe we could cheapen up some of our overlays. The cost of this proximately was $50,000 to $70,000 a mile.
Yes.
And it's all done in one pass. They all go down, and the road, by the time that's covered, and I think they said they did about a mile a day, by the time that's covered, it looks like a new road behind you.
Again. Yes, so. It is.
Is that 50 to 70? Does that include the overlay on top?
No, no, I don't believe so.
It's just a process of turning it up and laying it back down.
but you said they need to either have an overlay back on or some kind of
sealer.
You have to chip seal or armor coat it or something to seal off the surface. Yes,
seal off the surface.
Probably makes a difference on the depth of the road that you have to start with,
right?
And the condition down below too. Yeah. So anyway.
But some of our overlays that we did here several years ago, some of them, well, down at Liberty Wine where we did two-inch lays or close to that or something, you know. But Philly Adams, there was parts of that. We only did like one overlay, right? Or did we do more than that? Do you remember?
On the overlays, what we tried to do on these, on the last ones, we went in and done a correction layer.
Okay.
I call a leveling correction layer. With an inch and a half, and we went back over with the top layer. That gives you more a better, smoother ride quality when you go in two lifts instead of just one main lift. So,
okay, Galen, thank you.
Thank you much.
Last thing, Galen sent pictures of 11 warranty spots on overlays by constructors to Matt Manning. And he'll forward them on to constructors and try to get those issues corrected.
I was looking through trying to find some paperwork this last night, and I did find that agreement or whatever and read in there, as long as we had turned those in by the August 1st, it said in there that constructors would, pending the agree that it's their responsibility, they would have those done by August 31st.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's... But in the meantime, there was also a little bit of time period in there if we disagreed or had some others or whatever, too. But hopefully those 11 spots, then something will be done here in a month or whatever. So
I would assume they'd schedule. Have you heard anything back?
So.
All right. You and Bob have both looked over that, and you don't see any more popping up?
No,
I haven't seen any new
stuff. No.
Good.
So. That's
a good sign.
So good. Anything else on Road and Bridge? Okay. It's done. We have a 9:15 timed events next, but we'll wait with that till 9:15. It's only 9 o'clock on the clock. Next up, well, Gus already introduced Zach Smith as our new deputy, so Walker, present Engage quarterly report.
I made copies for everybody, so I'll continue these after. Thank you.
If you have enough, too, the ones that aren't here, they'll have them.
I'll get them.
Okay, yeah. If not, we can leave some ours with them so they can look at them.
Email it to Don as well.
Okay, or Don can make copies, too, and make sure they get some.
I gave him one because I printed off one for myself.
Okay, good.
All right. Thanks for having me. I've had some pretty exciting things happen with our organization and with the county and with the city in quarter two. So I'm just kind of leading off with some of our successes. The first one to talk about is actually our recruitment project with the hatchery, Hendrix Genetics. It's pretty, I mean, that's that was big news all around the world. We hit a lot of news feeds when you attract a Netherlands company to Beatrice, Nebraska. It's a pretty good day. So we're cranking away on getting everything settled or getting them settled out in the industrial park. Hopefully have some construction going by fall. We'll have a road going. We're just kind of working through some final estimates and things. They can't decide how big to make this, and so the numbers are getting bigger. So it's a good thing for us. But we're staying close on them, or staying close with them, and hopefully we see some action here in the next couple months. Another good success we've had recently, Rare Earth. We just announced, or the city just announced, that they're going to allow for tax increment financing for Rare Earth to expand out north of the hospital. That's a really good company. I'd kind of use an analogy when I was talking to the city council when they were trying to decide if they were going to allow the TIF or not. And kind of use an analogy is like we have this portfolio of companies in our community, and we have this industrial park full of all these kind of solid growth-based companies, but we have this Rare Earth, which is kind of this tech stock that not every other community has. And so they've done some really good things lately. They had an article in National Geographic. They got mentioned in another pretty big podcast. So they're turning some heads. And so I think that if we can help them grow, there's some big things that come down the road with Rare Earth. Something else that was pretty exciting for us was to see the acquisition of the old Husqvarna building. It had been kind of sitting around for a while. So we've been working with World Lawn a lot, trying to make sure that we think of everything as they go through their growth plans. They have an internal committee. They're trying to figure out how they use their existing 100,000 square feet plus their new 300,000 square feet. So just trying to think, do they lease part of it? Do they sell one building? You know, do they use an entire building? You know, like how far out are they before they start really growing? So they're a little tight-lipped on what exactly they want to do, but, you know, we're just making sure that we help them along the way and we think of everything that could come up. And then another thing that was pretty exciting for us, too, is the StoreCraft purchase. We don't have any tenants in the building yet, but I think seeing a developer out of out of Lincoln purchase that building and see the potential in there is a really good thing for our county and for Beatrice. Somebody to take a chance on that and to buy that and say, I know that we can fill this. I know that there's going to be growth here. That's good for us. I think it's good that we're turning heads some everywhere else. So I won't go through the whole entire strategic plan, but we just kind of go through our strategic plan on a quarterly basis. Well, we do it pretty much every day, but just to make sure that we're covering the things that we have in our plan to show that we have progress for all you guys. But the first one, and probably I think the most important, is just in our first one, in objective one, we do business, and it's called business retention and expansion, and that is, in my opinion, the core of economic development. What we do is meeting with existing businesses, helping our companies here grow, helping them stay, helping them be happy, because that's where I think the most success for our county is going to be. So we have a yearly goal of meeting with 40 companies. We met with 20 companies. We're already at, actually, our goal of 40 companies for the year. So we'll continue to meet with more companies. That's where we get all of our ideas, all of the things that we need to kind of help other businesses grow, or things they're being successful with, what they're struggling with. So we have a lot of those meetings with those companies. That's where a lot of our projects can kind of come out of. So any specific questions on the strategic plan? I won't go through the whole thing, but you notice anything in blue is kind of what we addressed in quarter two. So kind of looking forward, some of the things coming up, we're really focusing on getting control of more sites. So the thing with economic development, you need inventory when you have companies that look at you. And so if you don't have sites available, you have options on, or you have due diligence done where you know what it's going to take to get power or water or gas or whatever the utility would be to get there. So that's what we're doing, is trying to find sites that fit what the projects we're seeing. So if anybody has any suggestions, let me know. But typically highway access, rail access, and anything close to utilities. And then, you know, most importantly is the willing seller. So we're looking all over the county of that. Spoke with I've addressed that in one of the issues here, but we spoke to some folks in Cortland, Adams, Wymore, Beatrice. So trying to look all around the county, and so we have kind of an inventory of sites no matter where a company's looking to locate. And then we're kind of gearing up for the fall. Fall is trade show season. I came on board a couple months ago, so I was kind of in the middle of the spring trade show season, but we'll hit fall pretty hard. It's kind of in our target markets, you know, manufacturing, probably look at some food processing things. And try to do some more headquarter visits. I actually just scheduled a meeting yesterday to go meet with Toro in Minneapolis. I'm going to be up there for another meeting. So I think it's important to make sure we meet with those head folks at headquarters. Just tell them how much we appreciate their business that they're doing in our community, and just kind of get an idea of what their thought process is as an entire organization. So I'm try to do some more of those. And then next week, I think you guys all got an invitation, but we're doing that livestock sighting matrix discussion at our office on Tuesday. So if anybody else can make it, I know I have a couple of you folks that said you can be there, but we have a pretty good crowd, so it's a pretty good timing, I think, to look at some other options for what we want to do with sighting projects like that in Gage County. Any questions?
I'll make a quick comment, I guess. You know, as we've started this Engage and stuff, and it looked like for what it was slow for a process of several years, and I don't know why, but in your report here, it shows that all of a sudden a lot of activity, and very, very thankful for that, very, very thankful. And I don't know if things just fell all in place or what, or I know there was a lot of hard work on a lot of people, you, Glennis, and the board down there at Engage, for some of that activity being successful, but there's a lot of, I'll call it increased activity, and some of the results are very good.
Yeah, it takes years, you know, to kind of get to the point where you develop these relationships or these projects move along. I was just speaking with a site consultant yesterday, and we have a company I was working with, and Glennis and I were working together when I was still at the state, and just trying to touch base on that, and he's like, you know, it takes 2 years usually for these projects to come to fruition. We're almost at 2 years on this one project, and there's probably a pretty good chance we might just have to pull the plug on it. You know, it just is not going on, or they haven't moved anywhere. And so that's a lot of time and effort that went into one project. And so we have those, you know, in various stages all through our portfolio and our board, and we talk about those every month. But you just kind of inch them along. And then we're just fortunate the last couple of months we had a whole bunch of them land at one time. But that's, you know, that's why we want to make sure we're looking to the future, and that's why it's important to have sites and be ready to go and move quickly. You know, if we didn't have a site ready to go and a project comes to town, we'll miss out on that, and maybe it'd be a couple years before we'd see another project. So I think us, by doing our work up front, you know, we have some quicker successes.
Growth is contagious, too. Some of these things are from people who live here helping to bring things in, too, and that's everybody's job. If we can all keep trying to bring things in and at least get them to take a look, it's really exciting to see things starting to roll. We just want to keep it moving that way.
And kind of the contagious thing, but also kind of the work you need to do up front, but the housing. So housing has been a huge issue, and so that's been an eye-opener to me, but how much time we've spent on housing issues. And so doing that study was just crazy good for the county, because those developers, everyone knows there's a need to build houses, but until you do the study, no one's going to do it. So we did the housing study, we did the summit, and we've met with some developers, and we're continuing to meet developers. We had a deadline for RFP, so we put out 4 specific RFPs for various things around the county. So we had a deadline that ended last week, and we had some folks that said they were interested, and what we had told them was, if you're interested, give us a letter of intent. And then we kind of have our short list of folks we're going to be working with over the next few months as we figure out exactly what they want to do. Because they're all across the board, from elderly housing to work, like kind of workforce size or workforce level homes, to downtown, to like tax projects, kind of all over the board. So we're kind of making our short list of all of those. We have some really good things in the works. Can't say a whole lot about it, but as Eric said, the whole growth is contagious. With the housing, for sure, it just, once you get one developer that's interested, it seems like they're starting to all kind of line up, and so we'll have some good things with that soon, too.
Deal. Thank you much.
All right.
We will entertain a motion to place on file Engage report.
Moved. Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Hill. Vote. 5-0 in favor. I have 9:13 on the clock, so Bob, you're going to have to wait a little bit. We have a timed event at 9:15, so we're just going to hold off a minute or two here and wait until 9:15 on the clock here, and then we'll open the bids for the 4 pickups down there at the highway department that we're trying to dispose of.
Put some money in the coffers.
What?
Put some money in the coffers.
Put some money in the coffers. I don't.
I did get a quick update. They're talking on Hickory, starting to pave Monday, 2,500 yards a day, and they're thinking the first day will be a little less just because of the bridge, but then they should start knocking it out. I asked for a duration, and they didn't know yet.
They didn't know, yeah.
That's true. That's probably what it is.
But that's pretty amazing that Monday they're going to – I mean, that we're to that point on Hickory that they're going to start, I guess. That's just – I go, wow. I haven't been out by there. Have you? How often do you drive that, Galen? Do you go out there once or twice a week or – yeah.
I was out through there yesterday.
Oh.
What are they going to do with that borrow pit? Are they going to put black dirt back in there, or is there already? Or I never drove up over that hill. I saw it looked like a pretty steep ramp.
Where, at Dalvin Dix? Or Dalvin Dix or down in the bottom?
No, I think it was Dalvin Dix where they went up on top for Barrow.
Well, Dalvin Dix or something, though, wasn't that going to be a pond eventually or something? Something from Dalvin Dix somewhere where they were getting some of the dirt was going to eventually be a pond. But I don't know how that's... Okay, we have 9:15 on the clock, so I will entertain a motion to close bids for the four vehicles that we have listed.
Move to close the bids.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Thiemann. Vote 5-0 in favor. Do I need to read those into record or?
You might read the years. I don't.
Okay.
Think we need to read
the four surplus vehicles are. Are a 1980 Ford 3/4-ton 4x4 pickup, and it's got the VIN number, a 1986 GMC 1/2-ton pickup and with the VIN number listed, 1986 GMC 1/2-ton pickup, that VIN number listed, and a 1997 Ford F450 Chad Cassie's. Chass/cab. In other words, not a complete pickup, and with its VIN number listed. So, Terry, we didn't see one bid.
And these are all vehicles that are at the county barn, have been used on the, in the road department for their last few years. Okay, we have bids on the 1986 GMC, or bid on the 1986 GMC 1500. $131 on a 1980 Ford F-250, $167 on a 1997 F-450, $131. Those are the three bids.
So on one of the vehicles, there's no bid on there.
That's correct. And this bid was presented by Dwayne Tronick of Beatrice, Nebraska.
And I guess these vehicles have set for a period of years. They probably all set for 4 or 5 years or longer, right?
Yeah, probably close to it, yes.
And we assume they're running vehicles, but they could also be stuck. Engines could be stuck.
This one or this one, I don't know.
You tell them they're lightly used or give them a...
lightly used?
Terry, can you read the last... Did he have a VIN number on that?
Yep.
86. Read the last five numbers or something on that.
Okay,
VIN.
I'll go through it all again. A 1986 GMC 1500, the last four digits on the serial, 528495, $131.
Okay, that's that
one. 1980 Ford F-250... H00186, $167. A 1997 Ford F-450, A41577 for $131.
One reason, because we have two 1986.
Oh, yeah, I see.
So we need to
know which one. The half-ton pickup didn't have a bid on.
Yeah, the one,
yeah. Jimmy.
Well, on this bid sheet that Galen gave us, there's two 1986 half-ton Chevy pickups. So that's
Whatever one that is. Yeah. So,
so if my addition's right, then on the three vehicles, then the total bid was $429, plus we keep one or whatever. So I guess discussion or otherwise entertain a motion to accept it or reject it or...
I guess it's kind of would have expected another bid or two on these, but it was properly advertised. The pickups have set for a period of years, so therefore it's uncertain what they are. I'd move to approve them.
What's the price if we just have scrap iron guy come get them?
It's probably not a lot different, but we did put them out for bids.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done that. They could have bid them for scrap iron.
Yep.
They didn't do that.
And I'm a little bit surprised one of them didn't.
Yeah, I would think you could strip these and just get a whole lot more money out of it, but I don't know anything about that stuff. So,
I'll second his motion.
Second motion. So we have a motion by Hill and a second by Juergens to accept the bid on the three vehicles And like I said, if my addition's right, for a total of $429. So any more discussion? Or yeah, I agree with you guys that hopefully we would have had more bids. Hopefully we could have been higher. But at the same time, these are vehicles that haven't been used for a while, and they're just sitting there. And more than anything, Galen came forward to the board to, I guess, get rid of these vehicles because they're kind of an eyesore and other things down there. So vote. 5-0 in favor.
There's one left there. What do you think about putting that on that same auction site that you sold that last dump truck on?
The one left?
Or why don't, Galen, why don't you see if you have some ideas, or even call a junkyard or something by next committee meetings and see what let's decide at our next meeting and stuff. I don't care. We can put it on that auction time, too, or whatever, but I don't know if it's any value to put it on there.
I don't think it's probably hardly worth putting it on there.
I sold used pickup tires on that.
With what this guy bid on the three vehicles, and then he didn't bid on the other one, then you really question. Yep. And maybe, I don't know, I guess I'll ask Roger this. Can we make a decision, too, to have basically the highway department just haul it somewhere and get what they get?
Well, you've tried public auction and stuff. Yeah, I mean, if... Yeah, we've declared it a surplus, so basically...
Declared a surplus and have them haul it somewhere. So next Monday's, our next committee meeting, we'll visit about that, and then Wednesday, the next meeting, we'll decide what to do with it. But that's an option that people can think about, too, is we just haul it away. And
use it for...
Yeah.
And if we get more than what this guy paid for us, then we'll know next time what to do. No.
Well, and I guess, yeah, just check with a couple of salvage yards and
see what
they are.
But we'll visit with our next committee meeting about it, and then next board meeting we'll have a decision on that, or try to make a decision on that. So
I would say I think that's good to kind of cycle these out. They're just sitting there for years, but I really think we should explore maybe putting them on a site like that just to get the coverage. We had real good luck with that dump truck, and it just opens it up to all our local people can still bid on it, but it opens it up to the rest of the world.
That's something we can sure have discussion about. I'll just throw this out, that if they're in, I'd call it probably good enough condition to put on there. I don't know if they have restrictions or, you know, I don't know that.
You'd be amazed.
You'd be amazed, really. And that's something we can still do with the other one, Eric, too. We can still do it with this other one. We don't have to haul it. So,
don't they give prize money down at the races on Friday or Saturday night for destruction?
You would have thought with the Eva Destruction coming up at the fair that somebody really would have wanted one of these. You know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Gus has always volunteered the cars that we dispose of there from the sheriff's department to drive out there, but we've never let him, so
we're missing the boat. We are.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good advertisement, you know.
Yes, so. It would.
Oh well. Next up on the agenda, Southeast Community College is going to present information on the bond issue, and we thought Paul was going to be here, but Bob Morgan is here instead to present to the board.
Yes, I apologize for Dr. Illich. He got tied up this morning, and I said I'd be happy to come down here.
Well, the good news is, though, we get you here, so yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, thank you for your time. It's an exciting time at Southeast Community College. Just kind of as a background and a reminder, some of the roles and responsibilities of Southeast Community College that we have are that we are open access to higher education. I think we do a great job of providing a lower cost opportunity for students in our 15-county area and beyond. We provide a lot of technical and career-oriented education as well as academic transfer so folks can move on to a four-year institution if they so desire for a bachelor's or even beyond to the master's or a doctorate. We have an obligation to meet employer needs to train a workforce for Southeast Nebraska, and we hold that very serious in one of the roles that we have to do. We offer customized training, and of course we also offer continuing education courses that could be, you know, like a genealogy symposium, which we held last week at the college. In July of 2014, Dr. Illich came to Southeast Community College. As many of you know, Dr. Jack Huck, he retired. Dr. Illich has been here now, coming up a little over 2 years. The first thing we did is we stepped back and we developed a 5-year strategic plan. Out of that 5-year strategic plan, it really is going to drive where Southeast Community College wants to head, not only for the college, but for the Southeast area. And out of that strategic plan, the one thing that we realized is that we needed to take a look at having a master facility plan. Southeast Community College, as a college, has been in existence since 1973. We have never had a master facility plan. A lot of times our building are kind of by happenstance, and so we really sat back and said we need a little bit more of a direction as we look at our campuses. We also look at the 15-county area in Nebraska, and we realize that we believe that there's a few issues that we need to be poised to help with. Number one, with an employment rate in the state of Nebraska as low in the 15-county area as it is, we know that there is a lack of qualified workforce. We also know that the cost of education continues to increase, and so we need to be cognizant and make sure that we are a low-cost, high-quality opportunity for students in our 15-county area. We think the future looks bright. If you look at some of the economic forecast, we feel like I think the Department of Labor says between now and 2025, there's going to be probably about 28,000 new jobs added in our 15-county area. So we know that also helps drive what we need to do. And we also are at a point in time where we've kind of gone through a dip of high school graduates. And so now high school graduates for the next 10 years is going back up. And so that's a good thing for us as well. So when we looked at the plan and we looked at where we really wanted to head, we looked at a couple of things that we believe we need to try to do. First of all, if you look at where the three campuses are located in Beatrice, Milford, and Lincoln, we haven't probably done as good a job to cover the whole 15-county area. So many of you probably heard that we are putting learning centers in a number of locations. We identified some of the outskirts of Hebron, York, Plattsmouth, Wahoo, Nebraska City, and Falls City. Our hope is that we can have at least some type of learning opportunity for any student, no matter what their age, within a 35-mile radius of any location. Now, those learning centers certainly aren't full campuses like we have at the other three, but they do give an opportunity for students to get some education there and hopefully then move into one of our other campuses. We also know that for us to meet the demand of our students and the demand of the employers, we need to make sure that we have the facilities and the capacity for the programs to expand and to grow. We know that in the next 10 years, there are probably some programs we need to add that really aren't even in existence today when you look at how technology continues to grow. So in the master facility plan, we brought in Clark Anderson from Lincoln to do an outside audit of our facilities and take a look at our age of our facilities, the condition of our facilities. We also said, will our present facilities meet our needs based on the growth? And if we continue to build out our facilities, what is our potential growth over the next 10 years? And they came back and they looked at all the campuses. I'll probably spend a little bit more time on Beatrice, but can certainly talk about Lincoln and Milford as well. Beatrice campus, as probably most of you know, was built in 1965. It was a private college, Persian College. 1965 through 1971 is about the time that it operated. It was one of those times that we had a lot of people from back east that came to that campus. So in that period of time, you didn't get drafted for the Vietnam War if you were enrolled in college, and that was kind of one of its market. That changed in the early 70s. Unfortunately, the college went away in 1971. In about 76, I believe, the University of Nebraska got it, and we got it shortly thereafter for a dollar and made good use of it as we went forward. However, we fast forward now to 2016. We're still using basically the same facilities we've had since about 1981. So in the master facility plan, if you look at your pictures, I kind of can just outline on the second page, it kind of gives you a map of our buildings that they believe are in poor shape. They are wood construction buildings. They have served us well. I would be very remiss if I didn't thank my maintenance staff on a daily basis for going through and doing what they do to keep those buildings going. But the bottom line is they've served us very well. So what they're recommending for the Beatrice campus is they're recommending over a 10-year period to replace all of the buildings and basically redesign the Beatrice campus. I believe that's a very solid plan. If you look at one of the pages, you will see a layout of what the future campus would be and the buildings that they would propose bringing. We do know that as we continue to expand in intercollegiate athletics, we need to build up our rec center and our field house. We're proposing, not as part of the bond, but as part of a revenue bond, because the student housing needs to be self-sufficient, bringing in approximately 600 new beds in housing. So we would house 600 students at the end of the 10 years on our particular campus. We would put in a student center. We would make sure we had an agricultural, horticultural building. We'd have, of course, a building to store their equipment and a maintenance building. But we also would bring in the academic buildings, a fine arts building, a health sciences building. We have a multi-purpose center on the plan that we really want to make sure it also is a dual role purpose for a career academy to serve all of the ESU 5 schools in our southeast corner here. Another classroom building. And then the last thing that you'll see on the list, last thing is physical plant, but right before the physical plant, we are proposing an arena and a convention center. We believe that in the southeast corner of Nebraska, whether it be Jefferson County or Gage County, in that area, we believe that not will be a good thing for the college, but we believe that will be a good thing for the community. And then the rest of the items that you have in your packet really are just visuals of kind of what the architect has proposed as what you might see. Now, one of the things you got to remember, those are placeholders. We'll probably do a very extensive study on what goes into each building. There would be a phasing process, of course, over the 10 years of taking down a building and putting up a building so we stay in business and in operations. It does give you a little more of aesthetic pleasing, I think, view as you look as they pull the buildings a little bit closer. And all in all, we think it's a very good plan. That's kind of the Beatrice campus, and I'll kind of just pause for a minute and see if you want me to highlight the other two real quickly and then talk a little bit about what the cost is.
I guess questions from anybody or thoughts or?
Well, I would just add again from an economic development standpoint, this is just incredible for Beatrice, the potential for influx of people even taking away the convention center, we don't have anything like that in our area. So, I mean, this could be positive for us in so many ways, not just Beatrice, but our whole part of the state.
Thank you. Yeah.
Now, when you say all the buildings, you mean all the buildings, including the field house and some of the residence halls that, you know, have been built more recently?
Truman Center is one that is on the block to be torn down. It was built in 1999, kind of as a steel building. We're finding that by the end of that 10-year period, our HVAC systems and others are probably going to be at the end of their life expectancy. I believe the other thing is you look at the plan, it also is located not in a very advantageous place for us as we try to, I guess Nebraska Department of Roads willing, build an entrance off of 136. As far as the housing units go, we will try to continue to use those as long as we can. The three housing units, though, will be anywhere from 25 to 30 years old at that point in time. Having a lot of kids in and out with that building that was stick built, we are going to see some wear and tear and point of where some of those are going to have to be replaced. Yes. As far as the Milford campus, that campus will look significantly different, but most of the buildings are going to stay there. They will build an arts and sciences building because they do want to try to bring in a little bit more of academic transfer program in there, and they also would like to see, I think a good thing is they'd like to see the demographics of the campus change a little bit, so there's a little more men and women on that particular campus. And then you'll see 8800 Street go through some renovations. Kind of there's a couple of plans there in Lincoln of possibly not only growing 1800 O Street more into a technical campus, but look about how can we build a campus that would benefit a connection with the four-year institutions for arts and sciences. One of the nice things, and on the front of the brochure I handed to you, we have a website of www.southeast. It will actually lay out the entire master plan, and it will highlight those particular campuses as well as what you see for those improvements. So there will be, and one of the questions I've had asked is, will there be one campus that they'll start on and then move over to another campus and then move to another campus? Our commitment is to go ahead and start these projects simultaneously on all three campuses. We believe those growth opportunities are there. The architectural firm and the institution that came in and studied us, for us and Beatrice, we think we should go from our 9 to 1,000 students that we have now to roughly 1,900 to 2,000. That means we're also going to have to add employees to service, not only teach, but also for services. For as far as costing goes, it's about $127 million for the Beatrice campus makeover. Milford, they're projecting about $88 million. 8800 O Street, they're looking at about $62 million. If they would build a downtown campus and eliminate our CEC building and our downtown location now, they're looking at about $74 million. We would have $11 million that we've committed to the learning centers in our other 12 counties, and the total comes up to about $369 million. As we've looked at the bonds, and the board did approve to put this on the election for November, last night at our board meeting, we knew we had to come up with an estimate of what maybe the maximum cost would be. And right now they're looking at about 3.9 cents at the end of the 10 years for that project. Now, I also fully understand, you know, we always use the 3.9 cents on a $100,000 home. But we also have to use our knowledge that we know that that's also not the cost that it is to the rural community. And so we know we're asking for a commitment there. The bonds will not be taken out all at one time. Typically, when you take a bond out, you need to finish your project in 3 years. Based on the economy and those type of things, we would probably look at the first year. You know, that's one of the fluid things we're trying to figure out. But the first year, we're probably looking at 1 cent, maybe 1.2 cents, and then it would continue to grow as we would need the money as we finish it. You know, when you get into the project, we hope there can be some cost savings. One of the things that we look at is that we know that in Beatrice and Milford we have some need for student housing. Even though it's not part of the bond, it's part of a revenue opportunity. If we would build the three buildings together, you would save architectural costs. You could package in bidding costs. And so we're also looking at avenues that we can make sure that we're prudent as we move forward. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I just wanted to, you know, when you start a project in a 15-county area and move forward, we wanted to make sure that everybody gets kind of the facts and kind of give you the opportunity to ask questions for us, because we want to be transparent, and that's really kind of what a bond does.
When you put this on, this will be on the November election in all 15 counties.
Yes.
And it has to pass by what? A simple?
Simple majority.
Simple majority. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And, of course, you know, the cost is spread out over the 15 counties.
Right.
Yep.
But all 15 counties, everybody, every individual or everybody that's going to vote in those 15 counties, that'll all be together. It won't be one segment of just Gage County deciding.
No.
Beatrice. Okay.
That is correct. Yes. It is the majority vote based on our population of 15 counties.
Questions or?
Okay, I guess just one for me. Concerning the cloud, how confident are you this will go through concerning the cloud hanging over Gage County right now and the rural property tax valuations, where they're at, and the cost that's going to be passed on to the rural landowners, let's put it that way?
Sure. You know, I can address that by kind of, you know, again, the clouds come up recently. So, but I can tell you that in January,
we hired a research firm out of Omaha. And we did a survey, and we did a what they call a stratified survey. And if Dr. Illich would hear, that's his, you know, he's an institutional researcher, so he could tell you a little bit more, but it was done in a very professional way. And what we did is we surveyed, 300 people in Lancaster, 300 people in Gage, 300 people in Seward, and then 302 people in what we called our super region, which would include the other 12 counties. Overall, it came out to 63% were in favor of the bond. 37% of the people were not in favor of the bond. We asked a number host of questions, and we broke down the demographics. In every demographic, be it rural or urban, it still carried more than 50%. We're at 52 and 53% on the urban versus 48%. You know, now the urban was higher. Rural was at about 52%. Mm-hmm. Every age group passed. Every county gave us at least anywhere from 50 to 75% accepted. So, you know, we asked some other questions about have we been fiscally responsible in the last, you know, since our existence, which I think we have been very prudent. So based on those results, that's what really moved us forward to put the bond here, because one of the things we didn't want to do is waste everybody's time. Mm-hmm. And since we had a 63 to 37% voting in the end of January, we felt that that was a pretty good opportunity to at least bring this forward.
Good.
Thank you for answering that.
You bet. Well, yeah.
Appreciate that part.
Well, it hasn't been decided yet, but we could have on the November ballot also the elementary school for Beatrice, yes, public schools. And that hasn't been played out yet, but that's something that people feel are very necessary and we need to do. So everybody,
yes,
trying to work together. And
yep,
I know that Mr. Nareth has communicated with SEC and you've tried to work together relative to those issues.
Absolutely. You know, Beatrice Public Schools is a great partner with Southeast Community College Beatrice campus, so absolutely. Yeah. All right.
Questions for Bob. We really appreciate you coming. You answered, I think, some of the questions I had. You really did a good job answering those. So I know you will probably be making a lot more presentations, or if not, people from Southeast Community College sure will be. So
we will, but don't hesitate to call if you have questions. Absolutely. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bob. I don't. That was more for information, so we don't need any vote or anything on that to put it on our deal. Next up, discuss and approve or disapprove Masonry Construction's project of washing and repairing exterior of the courthouse. And Dave's going to discuss a little bit of this. We've had a couple of our committee meetings, or maybe in one board meeting, we've talked about it, and it's basically the west side of the courthouse here. What?
Great. Good morning.
The individuals. Done.
Yeah. 2 weeks ago, I invited Greg Dennis to come down and talk to us about the repair work. We started this project on the southeast side, and then last year we moved to the southwest side where he did repair quite a bit there. This phase would be phase three, which would be the southwest corner over here where it comes in north and then back over west. That was phase three, and then phase four would be the very top gable end of the west side and the chimney over there. And this is something that is more or less a preventive maintenance issue. What we're finding is that the sandstone does peel off like this, and so it would be washing off the sealer, repointing, and repairing anything that is falling off to prevent any moisture from continuing to flake it off. So what he came up with, it looks like it would be about 2 months worth of work. Phase three is $46,313. Phase four is $42,513. And then I asked him for a bid to continue to completely wash down the west side while he had the lift here. And so it would be washing. The gable would be repaired and everything, but from that gable end where the windows, arched windows are, down would be washed only, no repair work at this time. And that came to $3,313. And so the total was $92,139.
If that's washed, though, in theory, the degradation or the deterioration would, we think, stop?
Yeah, it would. I'm sure when he washes, I mean, when he comes to, you know, this stuff that's peeling off like this, that will come off. And then just that sealer is going to help. Removing the sealer will help the building breathe again. And the repair work more or less is where he feathers it in again. If it's a flat surface, he doesn't have to worry too much about it. So moisture can't continue to keep getting in behind there is what we're trying to prevent. But yes, removing the sealer, I think that will really help the building from spalling like it is now. This is something, it's not anything immediately that's affecting, you know, the building, but in the long term, it's nice to be able to continue to go around and just repair all these spots. And this southwest corner is in pretty bad shape. That's one of the...
Dave, if this proved, what was the start time, or was there any time?
It would be probably September and October is where we're looking.
Completed this year, though?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, and part of this, I'll just throw out the discussion of what we have going on. I guess this board really needs to decide whether or not we feel it's prudent to proceed with this, okay? Part of this can be decided what you call through our budget process in the next month, the month and a half. I don't know. I guess I'm looking for thoughts from everybody else on whether or not we want to take the possibility of approving this today or not approving it, I guess. I don't. You know, things, I'll just make this comment. As we go forward in the process and the situation we're involved with, things will slowly develop so that we will have clearer answers on some of this stuff. Now, today we don't. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some unknowns yet. And as we go forward, hopefully things will start becoming more clear. Today we don't have that answer yet.
My comment is, I guess you can't let the barn fall in.
Right.
And pretty soon you don't have a barn.
Yep.
Okay, make it simple. I mean, I don't think this is something that should be, because of the cloud we're talking about, should be not done.
Yeah, and I guess I agree with that. And I think it's important to get as much of it washed as what we can. And while it ain't going to totally eliminate further issues, it will help. And the quicker we can get that done, the more we're going to save down the road as far as really significant deterioration.
I totally agree, and I personally, I know the issues we're all faced with. We're going to be taking them one step at a time, but we can't just stop. And I would make a motion that we approve this project.
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion by Byer, seconded by Hill. Any more discussion? And I will say this, I agree with you guys too, but also at the same time, we need to be fully aware of the situation we're in, and I think we need to have that part of the discussion
sure.
Also.
And that, you know, with that being said, we can't let that influence our decisions on what's best for the county too right now. I mean, we can't just crawl back in a hole and hope.
We still have other responsibilities, yeah. Yes. And this very much being one of those. So,
well, the problem is too with that kind of potential expense coming. If it does come to fruition, we're not in a spot where we can write a check for that anyway. So, I suppose we need to keep operating the way we are, and then if something does happen with that settlement, then deal with it at that time.
And certainly we need to have as much preventive or, you know, stuff that we can do to prevent further significant expenses to the county done.
Because maintenance may come to a halt.
Yeah.
Yes.
But like John said, this is managing the future also. We're looking at how much more it could cost us if we don't do it. And so managing our dollars for the taxpayer is the best way we can, and that's to move ahead.
Very good. Any more discussion? Vote 5-0 in favor. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
So you'll keep in contact with him and keep us informed and
yes,
all that. So thank you much.
I want to thank Dave Jones for everything he does. I can't tell you enough how much he does for this facility. And I want to thank him for meeting me outside and wheeling me in my wheelchair every day.
Thank you.
Dave.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, approve or disapprove resolution adopting the Little Blue and Lower Big Blue Natural Resource Districts
jurisdictional
hazard mitigation plan. And Tim, would you like to come up and explain this?
This would be resolution 16-19.
Resolution 16-19.
Morning. As I said in the committee meeting, this plan is an update from the plan that we've had in the past. Federal government wants us to have a plan set to where we have ideas on some risk areas that may be in the county. And then what this does, it enables us to apply for hazard mitigation grants that are offered when they come available. In the past, we have used them for some of that hazard mitigation grant for the storm shelters that the public has used. They also can be used for tornado sirens, but those are required. I mean, how to get that grant money, you have to have a tornado affect your area to get that grant. That's a separate part of that. So they have certain stipulations on how to get the money. And, of course, the money is all one big pot. And they decide, it's kind of a, you know, I have a committee, and they decide where the money goes and what they think projects are good for communities. And they figured the last grant offer that they had was from the last update that they felt that the storm shelters were a good project to get involved with and get the grant money to some of our public. That grant is closing here at November. We were attempting to close the applications that were accepted this month. We're trying to get an extension, though, to get them maybe filled in.
You're trying to get the extension to apply for the shelters, or?
No, for the people who have applied. There's no new applications. There's still people who have applied for it that have not done the work. So there's still money that's sitting in that grant that was okayed that's not being used.
For our county, there is?
For Saline and Jefferson and Gage County. There's a whole bunch of us that went together in that.
Is there any way that we can encourage that as a county to get that done or help spur that? Or
it has to go to the storm shelters only, and it has to go to the public.
Is there a way to encourage these people that have applied?
We've sent out, the NRD sent out letters and has contacted them. I have sent out letters to all the people that were applicants in the county as well to remind them. I did that at the start of the year. NRD did a couple months later, so they're aware.
Is it a matching grant or it pays for the project?
The grant covers 75%, so it's a pretty nice deal for when you're talking, you know, $7,000 or so for the storm shelters. That's what the max. I think it was like $7,000 was the max payout. So it was a pretty good deal for them.
Have we had any reaction back on why they aren't getting done?
I just assume that they've changed their mind. Because they have to come up with the money up front as well. But then they get reimbursed by the NRD pretty quickly.
You think they've changed their mind and aren't going to do it?
That's the only thing that I can come up with, yes.
And what do we have as far as the date that they have to say, hey, I am or I am not?
If they are or not going to do it, They just have to turn their paperwork in and have the project done by, like I said, July, but we're trying to get an extension to give them extra time if they do change their mind and take advantage of the program.
Seems pretty poorly run to me. I think somebody needs to be accountable, and somebody needs to make people accountable.
I can't force people to spend money or decide to put a storm shelter.
If we're giving them 70% of the money, we should have some control.
The county, well, in a way, I guess you are, since you are a citizen of the United States of America, because it is federal grant money. So in a way, as a citizen, you are given the money. But
I mean, Lower Big Blue should. They should be doing this.
They are doing that as well.
Okay. So I have no concerns.
All I can do is offer the program. If they don't take advantage of the program, I don't know what else I can do for them.
It's a good offering, though. I mean,
it is a very good offering.
It's a good offer, and I know some of the discussions we had.
I believe we have 16 now that were installed in our county, which is pretty good.
Are these usually in, like, parks and areas like that?
Or? No, they're in houses, garages. Oh, they're actually the
oh,
personnel.
Okay.
They're not.
Understood.
No, they're for family households, that type deal. Some people have, sheriff has even had one installed.
Are these those fiberglass units that you bury, or what?
They're different materials. Some are prefabricated steel pieces they put together. I've seen a couple, just inspected one that was made of, I guess it's composite. It's got plywood on the inside and then has 3 or 4 inch foam, styrofoam, and then has a layer of quarter inch Kevlar and another layer of plywood on it.
Are they buried or are they above ground?
No, they're above ground. There are some that I know one is purchased as buried. He hasn't got it buried yet. Some are in basement, some are in the garage, some are outside on concrete slab. But that's kind of what the programs are for. So what this does is this allows us to apply for those type of grants, similar to what if we remember with the flooding we had. Some of the hazard mitigation talk was to help possibly doing some research to see if some culverts were needed to be upsized, downsized, or maybe some waterways opened up, or washways, whatever you want to call them, opened up to allow better flow. They could apply for the townships or the towns that were the villages that were available. If they had some areas they could use that, they could apply for a grant to have those to see if they could be or money could be given to them as a grant to help cover any type of work for hazard mitigation purposes.
And this is a plan. Wasn't a JEO, or there was a firm that
used to, well, the first group that wrote the first plan was Olson Industries, I believe is what they were, and then the JEO, we contracted JEO to update the plan.
So they helped with part of the research and everything and updating this plan. So
when they went through a lot of the data that's with our censuses and all the with what the NRD, if you go through it, you can see where they had the population growth. It's kind of been steady for the last 2 years. They go through age groups. They go through how many waterways we have and how many miles of waterways we have. They go through the history of tornadoes, and they list it all in here to help give you a picture of our risks. They even talked about how our age group, there was some risk that our age is elderly and actually younger. So the middle age area, there's not that many people here in the county. So there's the risk of, you know, obviously with the elderly, some aren't as mobile as what some middle-aged people are, saying with the children. they're not as mobile as well. So, you know, that's some of the risks that they talk about in there. They talk about housing as well and all that.
And the reason we're approving this is so that we can use this, or this is required for some of the grants that could be applied.
That's correct. Correct. FEMA wants you to have an idea of things that are some risk in your county, so where you are planning ahead or have an idea of what you can fix to help alleviate cost and alleviate the cost to the citizens of the United States with their grant money.
Very good. Any more questions? If not, we had a motion to approve, right? No, we'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve Resolution 16-19.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann and seconded by Hill. More discussion? Vote. 5-0 in favor.
All right, thanks. I'll come get it later, and I'll send it to...
You need something signed or not?
I'll need that one signed. That one?
Oh, yep. Okay.
I'll just have to turn it into the NRD.
I remember you bringing this up and talking to us about that storm shelter. Once you said it, I started to remember that.
Yeah, you and Myron were both, we were all three in those meetings.
We went out to the meeting at the extension office, probably a year ago maybe.
I thought this was something new or something that was like a couple of months. And this has been out there for a long time.
It's an update.
I don't know how we advertise that or get that out to people because...
Yeah. No, there were.
There's a lot of people that could use that.
I was a part of that. I was quite several years ago when they opened that grant up. I don't know what's open for the new grants for anything like that. It's probably very little because they really are focused on really dire needs communities like some areas. Some smaller communities don't even have tornado sirens. So that's where they're kind of focused on and like that.
That's understandable. As there are these programs, even though I know you bring them up to us, maybe re-remind us of some of these as you can. We should remember these, but it's something like that. That's been an old program. I didn't even realize.
Oh, I don't know. We'll visit.
They on the agenda. Definitely had some time to put those things in.
Because it ends the first.
If they change
it does. It does help. This plan kind of helps you see the big picture again once you go through it. Like I said, when we brought up the lightning resistors, suppressors, or whatever, that was one of the things that we discussed about when we were there was some of the issues that possibly could happen. Obviously, with storms, we know that thunderstorms are a threat, so lightning's a threat, and so that's where the brainstorming starts going.
Right, and the city found out in this county there's a big need for that.
Right. Exactly. Otherwise, I think that's what the conversation was because of 911.
No, there was that part of the conversation out there, too. That was a couple-hour meeting we had out of the extension office. And there was a good attendance at that one, so 50, 60 people. Okay. Thank you, Tim. Next up, discuss and approve or disapprove the 9/11 agreement between the City of Beatrice and Gage County. Part of Don's brought this to my attention. I'm just looking at this.
One other thing.
Okay. Well, part of what the city, our agreement with the city for this ends here July 31st. And what they proposed and what they visited with Roger and me about, or I guess, and sent us some emails, they would like to extend it for one more year, and then it would line up with the other agreements that they have with, like, now Creed and other entities, so that they would all become renewable at the same time. Instead of renewing a three-year one, have this renew for another year. But part of what, and now Don here, as we're looking at this, we have this on our agenda to approve or disapprove today here in July, but the agreement that sitting here says entered into on this certain day of August of 2016. But I'll let Roger discuss it a little bit here now, too, and how to handle that maybe.
Yeah, as far as you can just strike that if you approve it today. I mean, it's basically when the initial discussions came out. And Meyer's exactly correct. They're trying to get all the contracts with all the subdivision or governmental subdivisions on the same annual or same terms, so that, as everybody knows, we're going to be sharing costs, like with the director that the city hired. And so it's much easier to deal with all of us at the same time when we do the proportional sharing.
So,
will they be, because I know there was some discussion of wanting to fall into our fiscal year. Do you know if that's what they're going to be doing?
I mean, that would be something that we need to talk about.
Talk to them about
it. I agree. It's probably, for us, it would be much better.
Well, I know that last year was a discussion that we were going to try to change it. Now, with everybody else being involved, I think that makes a difference, too. So, okay.
Any other questions, or I'll entertain a motion to approve. Rogers looked at this and reviewed this.
Basically the numbers are the same as what we have now. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a matter of moving the contract times.
Not, I'll entertain a motion to approve or disapprove.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Durgan, seconded by Hill, to approve the one-year interlocal agreement with the City of Beatrice for the 911, for the 911 system, I should say. Any discussion? More discussion? If not, vote. 5-0 in favor. Next up we have, and Matt's not here, but I have a few things, I guess, to discuss for the fiscal year 16-17 budget. And I guess somebody else has comments. We'll entertain those first. Otherwise, I've got a couple, I guess, more numbers things than anything, so to go over. Last year, now this is for 2015-16, so this is the fiscal year that we just completed. Gage County had a valuation of $3,024,000,000. Our county, this is a request for tax dollars, or the funding that the county requested was $8,097,974.59. That $8 million there, that's important because by state statute, counties, I don't know about others, counties are allowed to increase their tax asking by 2.5% a year. I do have the numbers here if you're interested. In the last several years, we have increased it by not near that much. In fact, a couple of the last 5 years, we've increased it by $0 or $1,500. If you do the math on that $8 million in taxes, that's what the taxes the county itself collects and uses. This does not include some other entities that we allow mill levies, and I'll go into those in a minute. By a special vote, not a supermajority vote of the board, we can increase that 2.5% by another percent and go to 3.5%. If you use that $8,097,000, If the county increased it by the maximum we're allowed each year, which is 3.5%, we could increase our tax asking by $283,429. And that's important as we go forward with the situation we have with the Beatrice 6. I know a lot of people in the county have concerns about they're going to raise our taxes, we're going to be taxed out of this world, because if, I'm not saying what's going to come out of that, but if we end up having to pay a judgment, as you can see, we, the county, cannot just go out and increase your taxes by millions. We cannot do that. By state statute, we are not allowed to do that. We could increase next year, we could, not saying we will, but we could increase our tax asking by $283,429.
As a maximum. And that was a real misconception as I talked to other people too. They said, if you raise our taxes to pay for this, we can't live here. And there's the fear mongering.
And that's not true.
You can't.
They can.
And I tried to explain that too. There's that 2.5%. I didn't realize there was a 3.5%. Maybe that's something none of us should realize.
2.5% plus a 1% more by a supermajority vote of the board, which is a maximum of 3.5%.
And I don't see support, you know, judging the way we've talked in the past, any support for that either. But that is good to mention that, because there is that fear that all of a sudden, if there is this judgment, we're just going to go back and hike everyone's taxes up. It can't be done. So that is really good to bring up.
Now, that last year's budget, that little over $8 million, just for the county, now this is just the county, and I'll go into some of these others, what we allow to use, that gave a mill levy for the county of 26.7766. Counties are allowed a maximum of 50 mill levy.
45 plus 5. If you have interlocals.
So
if you don't have any interlocals, it's 45 cents.
Yes, if you have any interlocals, which we do, which our county does, we're allowed 5 mill levies out of that 50 for interlocal agreements. So because we have that, then we are allowed 45 total mill levies. Now, the county is at 26.7766. You have to add in all several entities here, and I'll go through them, that the county allows basically to be on our mill levy. One of those, and we always have this discussion, is townships. We allow townships 7.5 mill levy. Currently, the townships, the 24 townships in Gage County, are using a little bit less on average than 5 mill levy. They are also limited by that 2.5% or another percent, total of 3.5% increase. They cannot increase their tax asking by more than that 3.5% any year. We allow the Historical Society, which is in Gage County, we allow them, well, it's one-tenth, it's 0.1, it's not a mill levy, it's 0.1025 mill levies.
And so these are last year's figures. They change each year.
All
based on what they submitted last year.
This is last year's figure with the last year evaluation of a little over $3 billion. We allow the Ag Society to be at 0.4464 mill levy. We allow all of the fire districts in Gage County a total of 3 mill levies. You add those up, and that's another 11.0489 mill levy, or a total of then the county's using, or the county's based on, a total of 37.8255 mill levies.
The county's using 26.766 and allowing
the others that additional a little bit over 11 mill levies. Now, that's important, all those others, though, because that is included in or on the total mill levy for the county. And some of those, we're allowing those to use that, but yes, like the townships all, if we didn't have townships in the county, they're still at cost and expense that the county would be picking up or managing or whatever you want to call it. So it's not that those, so we can't just go get rid of those 11 mill levies either. There are some, even with our mill levy, there are state statutes. There are other things that counties are required to do and perform. So we cannot, as a county, just go out there and Matt threw out the numbers at the committee meeting or maybe the board meeting the other day. If we completely shut down operations for a period of 2.5-3 years, that's how much it would take to pay for the judgment that was entered at the court.
If that judgment stands.
So we cannot go out there and just shut the doors on the county either. We have state statutes. We have state statutes, as Gus is sitting here. We have state statutes. We have to operate the jail. There are certain things that state and other entities require us to do. So as we go forward and as we have discussions forward, particularly with this year's budget and maybe the next who knows how long or whatever, because of that judgment or, as Eric said, if that stands or whatever turns out to be the judgment, we have some restrictions on us as a county. We have as far as what we can raise for taxes, as far as what we are required to do by state statutes. This board has had some discussions on those. We don't have any answers for you yet. We don't know what will eventually become of this. All I can say is as our process goes forward, more of those will become clear or will be acted on. We don't have an answer, though, for people. But as Eric said, we cannot just go out there and automatically raise taxes to pay for this all in 1 year or 2 years or whatever. So,
What did our lawyers do on Monday in the court?
I don't have any confirmations as far as...
They were supposed to make filing on Monday, as I understand it.
Yeah, and I can't. David said they were going to file as quick as they can.
They have to by the 28th, but they weren't going to right away. I don't think they were going to file Monday yet, were they?
We have not heard anything yet.
I thought they had a time limit.
The 28th. That's next Thursday.
Okay.
It's a drop-dead date, and Roger's right. I said wait till the end. Roger said we probably don't want to wait till the last minute on that one. So,
for some reason, I thought they had a requirement on Monday to do either one or two.
It's been reported that way, but that's not.
Yeah, it's been reported that way, but that wasn't correct.
Okay.
Oh, just out of curiosity, what's the school's mill levy? Do you have that in our area here in the Beatrice District?
Oh, yeah, I do too. Here we go. This was our mill levy for last year, okay?
Out of curiosity, it's nice to compare, the county to, say, the school system or something like that.
One other thing, though, too, but this isn't included in our 50 mill levies. We have 3 mill levies for the bond. That's outside of everything else in the county. Our road overlay, our bond that we did several years ago, that's another 3 mill levies. Schools, school district. Wymore Southern, this is just a general. We are at 0.267766 mill levy. Wymore Southern's at 1.035520. Beatrice is at 1.010302. Freeman is at 0.825253. Hold it here. Yeah, the other one's Diller O'Dell. No, I don't have their mill levy on. Oh, yeah. They're at 0.570738. So you need to move, Terry, so you can help the rest of us out. Diller O'Dell has some different things going in down there that has really helped their tax base, and that's where their mill levy is.
Well, they've got two
pipelines for number one.
Yep.
Railroad, I don't know about railroad, but pipelines. Pipeline is what really helps.
And they've watched their spending.
They've got a large district that's got a lot of irrigated land in it.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of students.
Yeah.
Things go for them.
Yeah. But those are, yeah, so, Beatrice and Wymore here, they're at four times what the county is right now, basically. That's a rough, that's rounding it off.
So if you look at the amount of area that the county takes care of as far as roads, services, things like that, doing it at 25% of what Beatrice School District takes care of. And we are limited, and we've intentionally stayed at a lower level. And I think we still need to keep trying to stay at minimal increases for what we need. But we can't stop operating, just like we talked earlier, because there's a judgment looming out there. We're going to have to deal with that as it comes, but we still need to operate business as usual until then.
We are required to do certain things no matter what. Right. So,
and actually, those numbers you gave us for the school districts does not include some voter-approved bond issues.
No, that's no voter-approved bond. That's just their general. That's their operating mill levy, yes.
As much as the jail costs, usually when you keep putting money into something, it's worth a lot. Is there any chance we could sell that, Gus?
The jail?
Yeah.
I went without him, mate.
Well, throw him in.
As we go forward, I believe, Don, we have to approve and forward a budget up to by the state of Nebraska by September.
Has to be in their office on the 20th.
20th of September. Some of the decisions, at least for the next fiscal year, not knowing farther out than that, but by September 20th of this year, the government entities are required to have their approved budget forwarded to the state. So, in the next month and a half or 2 months, hopefully we'll get a little clearer picture of what we're dealing with. Hopefully we will be able to make some of these decisions, and more decisions then will be forthcoming. Today, sitting here, we don't have answers for some of this stuff. We just don't have answers. We've had a lot of discussion. I'll just tell you that as a board and with Roger and our other attorneys, we've had a lot of discussion. But some of those answers will be forthcoming because they'll need to be made. But sitting here today, we probably don't have enough information or the right tools in front of us to make those decisions. So, and there will be a lot more discussion yet by this board. But we want to emphasize to people, this board, this county cannot go out and just raise taxes and pay for this thing, period. That's not allowable by state statute. So,
well, I think overall this board has been very frugal with their budget, so it's not like there's a bunch of spending out there that you're going to cut back.
Right.
You're down to basically the essentials of what county government's required by statute to do. And, I mean, the road bond, again, that fixed roads that you're required to do. So, I mean, this is all going to enter into the calculations.
Yes.
As we proceed forward.
No, I can't see any waste. I think we've managed our dollars very, very carefully. We have looked at them. This entire board has been extremely frugal. But looking at what our people need, and reaching out to make sure that we do the things that they need. And that's another one of our major obligations. But we have been frugal in doing so and haven't wasted money, but have spent dollars appropriately where it's needed.
Any more discussion or thoughts on it? If not, I'm sure as we're going forward, as Matt said at the committee meeting, he'd like that on there on every future board agenda to have discussion on our budget for next year. So we will continue to have that as we have meetings. If not, next thing on the here, but we were going to take a 5 or 10 minute break before this. So we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back. We're going to go into closed session for some safety procedures and some personnel and litigation update. So, unless something changes, there won't be decisions coming out of that closed session.
I don't anticipate anything out of litigation.
Yeah. We're going to take a 5-10 minute break first.
All right.
Are we back on?
Now we are.
We're back in session here at 10:29 on the clock. I entertain a motion to go into closed session for safety procedures, personnel, and litigation update necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual at 10:29.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Thiemann. Vote 5-0 in favor. Come on, closed session here.
Okay.
Mics are on. I'll entertain a motion at 11:31 to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Thiemann. Vote 5-0 in favor. We will adjourn our Board of Supervisors meeting, and everyone should remember to be back here at 1 o'clock for the Board of Equalization.
Well, you're worried about that. Myron, if you want us to all come back, shouldn't we all go have lunch?